Welcome to Discussion at Brookings Cafe, a discussion about virtually anything, an opportunity for you to express your opinion on virtually any topic. While the cafe is fictitious, the table is quite real, and the people who come here talk about topics we hope you will find interesting and important to our community. More importantly, we hope you will come visit the table and become a part of the dialogue. Let's see who's at the table today. I'm Dan, and we're going to discuss something called municipal broadband, which I have no idea what it is, but we're going to find out. So I'm here with a number of people. Matt, can you please explain to me what municipal broadband is?
Well, actually, I'd rather talk about community-based broadband.
Okay.
Because that covers a bigger umbrella. And basically, community-based broadband is going to be broadband that's using either the city or state or perhaps federal government funds and or a combination of co-op funds or a co-op to provide better broadband services to the area or the community. Would you agree with that, Andrew? What would you add to that?
Well, to be more clear about what we mean when we say community broadband is there are several models for building the community-operated networks. And one of the models is go with municipal broadband, which means a city or a larger entity builds the network and operates them, or even outsources the later operation to a private entity. And the other one is either create a special cooperative, like telecommunications co-op, or use resources already available to local electric co-ops and provide broadband service through that.
Dane Tittman here, computer technician for the Brookings Harbor School District. I don't want us to miss discussing the topic of municipal broadband because I think that'd be interesting to think about
Sure. What
that would look like in our local area. So a broadband offered or maintained by the city or broadband offered or maintained by the county. But I would find it interesting to also to discuss or think about what if Coos Curry Electric offered broadband as an option for its services.
Absolutely.
And what that would look like. As an electrical cooperative already existing in our area and with an established system of services, I'd be interested for us to discuss what that looks like. I don't want to miss talking about the municipal aspect of it just for funsies.
Okay.
That's why we thought it's worth expanding it from municipal broadband mm-hmm. to community broadband.
Mm. Okay.
Community broadband.
But is this basically just internet services like I buy from my internet provider? The Spectrum, I think, is what I have.
Yes, that's basically what it is.
Yeah. So are you saying that we're going to go into competition with Spectrum, et cetera?
Yes and no.
Yes and no, yeah.
All right, who benefits from this? Who gets the money from this?
Well, it's not a question of money as such so far, as basically big telecom and cable companies have no interest in bringing rural areas into the 21st century. Okay. They have no interest and no resources allocated to providing next generation broadband services to rural areas. That's why it's important to explore other options to provide super fast broadband connections.
Okay, so are you talking about this thing they call 5G?
No.
No, 6G?
Well, those are
like cellular data standards.
Okay.
And I don't want to get away from the point of why is it that large telecom companies, why are they not interested in working in smaller communities? They might be only so they can establish like a monopoly in that area and hold it so that they're basically the only ISP or internet service provider in that area. But there's just not as much profit in bothering with the infrastructure in a small area. It's far more lucrative to operate in larger cities and bigger urban areas. And it's easier just to discard these smaller communities. So a community broadband option allows a community that, while small, still has a means of trying to get access to a faster internet connection.
So interestingly enough, Andrew and I were talking about this beforehand, and the same model sort of happened 60, 80 years ago with power.
Mm.
And private companies were trying to roll out power, but they were discarding the smaller communities.
Mm.
And so this same history repeats itself. The same thing is happening now, where these smaller communities are getting left out, and we're having to. And this is why municipal power became a thing, right? This is why, you know, the electric companies aren't privately owned anymore. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the M word, because apparently monopoly currently, or duopoly rather, a functional duopoly is a thing with telecom/cable companies at the moment. Only 1% of American consumers are served by two cable companies in the same area. Just think about
1%.
That.
Think about that.
So there's that virtually no competition.
There's virtually no competition between them. There is some competition in urban areas, but rural areas are on their own.
Yeah, I remember I was working in electronics many years ago, and we're talking probably 10 years ago or so, and then the discussion was about who can get that one wire to go into your home to serve you with everything. And then at that time, I remember I was talking with somebody who was with the power company that was serving us, and they were exploring a lot of different options about how to deliver services through the electric lines. And what came of that I was aware of was that they developed a system whereby instead of having to come to your house to read the meter, they could read it remotely. And that was a huge savings for them. But they were also talking about, and it wasn't just the power company. The cable companies were talking about it. The telephone companies, there were all of these battles going on about see who can provide all of the services on just one wire. And everybody wanted to be that one wire that went into your house. And that's, as you say, Andrew, that's a monopoly, basically. But that's the way that it works if you don't have the competition. So then in an area like this where there's no competition to speak of, what happens is that one company then can essentially charge whatever they want and so on and so on, although I realize they have to be competitive in one sense. But there's nothing to really challenge them to say that, you know, we can provide this for that.
In fact, in a lot of cases and in a lot of either county or state governments, the telecoms have gone in and said that, you know, we'll come in and build this out provided that you don't let any other competition in. So they've actually set up monopolies, and somehow that's becoming a thing and is legal.
Yeah, and some of the ways that's done is with, like, control of utility poles.
Right.
So, like, some utility poles might be owned by the company itself. That's their utility pole, or they have certain rights to the pole itself or the maintenance of it and so on. So trying to set up another company wanting to use that pole may not be able to, which effectively denies them access. They can't build a second pole of their own necessarily unless they get an agreement with the city and they get that little piece of the sidewalk or whatever the case may be. It can get pretty ugly. So sometimes these companies can work out sweetheart deals with local or state governments to effectively block out competitors.
There's, I think, four states right now that have one company that's controlling the whole state. Washington being one of those states, actually.
Well, sometimes state governments even welcome that. Like they say, hey, we get this great package deal.
Right, they get a package deal.
We team
they're
up with this
with
company.
Their packages.
Oh, man, yeah. Entire states will adopt software systems. They'll adopt companies that do stuff. It's a pretty wild partnership sometimes.
Yeah.
Governors will get giant donations from telecom companies. Kate Brown's one of those. Comcast is one of her big donors. And she was like working with Comcast to write letters and things like that. But they sent her like a draft. Mm-hmm. It was basically just entirely written by them, and she just sent that off. Just wild stuff like that just depresses you. No matter how long you've been aware of corporate influence on politicians, it's still a bummer to hear about. It's not pleasant to hear about.
Sure.
Yeah. But municipal broadband, that would be the state or local governments providing those services. Shall we talk about what that might look like in Brookings or Curry County?
Sure.
Well, first, let me just throw something out here. The definition of broadband, according to the FCC, is a 25 megabits per second speeds or greater.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, that's actually 30 megabits per second, which is a whole other discussion if we want to get into Europe. But, interestingly, I don't think we have that. I don't think we have broadband at all in Brookings. I mean, supposedly we get 100 those who have spectrum, but mm-hmm. when's the last time that you've actually got 100?
Sure. People who receive services from Charter, depending on what their plan is, they should receive 25 or above. They ought to. Sometimes, depending on how much use you're getting in your neighborhood at the time, it might be a little bit lower. But I know my internet connection home is through Charter, sadly, and I get pretty decent speeds through that. The school district here uses Charter as a provider, and they get pretty incredible speeds. Obviously, it's a business line, but they get pretty high speeds at the school. And to your point too about broadband is your cable. It's like coax cable, like you use for televisions. It's different from phone line, which is like DSL or digital subscriber line, mm-hmm. which is the new form of what was dial up back in the day, where your phone had to make this horrible screeching, or your modem had to make this horrible screeching noise. I play for the kids in school sometimes. That's pretty fun.
And they say, do you remember a time?
Yeah. I remember
Mr. Tittman, when there were dial telephones.
Oh, jeez.
You get dated real fast anymore, but the technology.
Quick data point on the 25 megabits per second. The FCC put out a report in 2016 that only 10% of Americans did not have access to even the 25 megabits per second. Okay. That was, 34 million people, I think.
What do we have here in Brookings?
Here in Brookings, internet service providers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Charter, Time Spectrum. Warner, Spectrum, Lord knows who else, is the coaxial, your broadband provider. You have Frontier. They're the DSL provider. They can give you digital subscriber line, internet over phone lines, basically. Both copper internet providers. You have, HughesNet for satellite, if you're way up in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the speeds they provide?
Dismal, and right. With satellite you get entire just drops. A cloud goes over, a duck toots as it flies by, and lose your connection.
So it's not really broadband.
No, definitely not broadband. It would not meet those definitions.
I would argue that DSL is not really broadband.
No,
I have it. I get 5 megabits.
Yeah, you get 15 on a good day, and you're like, whoa.
Right.
And, yeah. What else do we have here?
That's all they offer.
Sure. You got the cellular providers. You got the different towers here in town. And cellular can get
that
some
can
pretty
be
decent
okay.
speeds. Yeah,
yeah,
it can be. But then, of course, you're beholden
that's line
to...
That's line of sight, yeah.
Yep. So you'd be blocked by hills and buildings. It's all wireless. And you're beholden, in every one of these cases, you're stuck with the service plans that these companies afflict you with. So there's end-user license agreements, and you've got anything that you do online can't violate their terms. They're observing your traffic. They're collecting data about what you're doing sure. online. They're selling that data.
There's net neutrality issues now.
Net neutrality being revoked, basically, yes. Pretty rough stuff.
And with the case with cellular, they also limit the amount of data that you can get.
There could be data plans data that you can be stuck on. Yep, it's very easy to track cell phones. So just by using a cell phone and moving around, your position can be triangulated at any time. What a hoot.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. So if we went to a municipal broadband, what would that look like in Brookings?
If it was municipal and provided for or provided by the city, of Brookings, let's say City of Brookings, because that'd be different from the county level.
Sure.
So City of Brookings, that would look like kind of like the water hookups, I would presume, and that you'd have the infrastructure of providing the internet connection to homes was provided by the city. You would request a hookup, I would presume. They wouldn't just, everybody gets it no matter whether they want it or not. They need to request it or put in a form or say this is a home that I want the connection in, and they run a tech buy. And provide you with a connection. They run a line from the utility pole to your house, and they then say, here you go. You could then buy the modem. The modem is the modulator-demodulator that modulates and demodulates the analog signal and the copper cables and turns it into a digital signal, which your computer can interact with and talk to and send stuff out. So that could maybe come from the city, or maybe you would buy one yourself. Even some private ISPs allow you to buy your own modem and then configure it. That's what I do because I don't want to rent a modem from some scumbag
right.
private company.
Why spend $5 a month when you can spend $50
and have my own and control it and somewhat trust it a little bit more?
Are we talking about putting in all new lines?
Well, okay, so that's why don't you talk about that, Andrew?
Mm. Yeah, let me be a little clear about what we're talking when we discuss the next generation broadband. So in the context of next generation broadband, few technologies usually are mentioned, among them fiber and 5G. So fiber and 5G, they are complementary. They are not the alternative to one another. And I want to be clear about that. So when people say, oh, let's just put 5G towers and
provide internet. Right, because that was my first thought was, well, 5G is coming. Why don't we just have put a 5G modem up on all the cell towers and we're done. But that's not exactly the way it's going to work.
Yeah, that's not exactly the case. 5G apparently requires a higher density of towers than the regular cellular service. And the traffic backhaul, meaning the data flowing from tower to tower, once it, you know, arrives or leaves your cell phone, it needs to be transferred with fiber wire. So another option for the broadband is the fiber. So it's called different names like fiber to the home, FTTH, etc. And that basically involves laying the optical fibers that are made of glass. It's basically thin strings of glass encased in plastic. Why is that infrastructure, you know, important? Why is it the technology of tomorrow? It's easily upgradable. None of the copper lines, being it coaxial cable or the DSL lines, they will be able to, none of them will be able to handle the data through outputs that will be necessary in, you know, in this century and beyond. While fiber either can be upgraded through the equipment and laid once, can be just, you know, number of fibers in a bundle can be increased, and you can, you know, it can meet changing data requirements of the communities.
So whereas copper was the answer for the last 50, 75 years,
pretty much reached
like
the
limit. Fiber is really the wave of the future.
Well, copper was like electrical waves passing along the copper lines,
right.
Whereas fiber, like you mentioned, it's glass fiber. Well, it's pulses of light moving through that. That's so instead of binary in the form of analog waves, ups and downs and ones and zeros, it's pulses of light moving through glass at a much, much faster speed.
There's no electrical interference.
No interference, environmentally friendly.
It's environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. You can modulate more than one signal, apparently. Mm-hmm.
You can pass through the same wire, you can pass way more data, and one trick you can do for that is basically a little laser that sends your data down the fiber can have a different color. So you can have three differently colored lasers sending three different data signals through the same fiber.
Mm. Oh, wow. Right. That's a new thought to me.
Right. So it's expandable almost in the...
How many colors in the spectrum?
I would say it's future-proof.
Future-proof, right.
To a large degree, yes. Mm-hmm.
But it can be expensive. I mean, terminating a fiber line and having the technology and equipment.
So I brought up a data sheet, and I don't know the accuracy of this, but I did find it online. Andrew pointed me to this. It says, with $15 million, a city can build a quarter mile of light rail lane, quarter mile,
of what?
Light rail.
Light rail. Okay. Light railroad, yeah.
3 miles of a bridge.
Okay.
12 miles of a four-lane road. 15 miles of water and pipe and meters. Or 87 miles of fiber.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't have the... those of you at home listening who can't see the screen that we've got pulled up here, it's we're talking about, you know... half an inch long, and then 2 inches long, and then 3 inches long, and then what is that? About 18 inches worth of. So, in other words, it's a graph that is quite dramatic because you see, you know, that they can lay a lot of fiber and stuff. I want to take just a moment to say that this is KCIW. You are listening to Discussion at Brook and Cafe. Our editor today, driving the pilot seat, is Pi White. Now, this brings this question that I wrote down here. Satellites. Elon Musk just recently put up this string of these satellites that I never did get the chance to see in the sky, but I understand it was quite dramatic because when he launched them, they were one right after another.
Okay.
And then they've been moving them slowly up to higher orbits, I guess. And I don't know if they're going to go geosynchronous or if they're... going to be just, you know, switching as they move into different positions or whatever, like GPS or something. How does this work into this equation? And Andrew's got his hand up. Go.
Well, if you think about it from the point of view, how much data you can push through a medium, being at space or, you know, glass or copper wire, then think about how much you can push through just open space through, via radio waves. The spectrum is limited. There is a lot of interference. The more satellites you launch, the better job you always need to do separating signal from the noise and one of the signals from the other. So there is inherent limited capacity to what satellites can do. There is a lot of interference, obviously, because they're up there in the atmosphere. And latency and reliability were always the issues with satellite technology, no matter what it is. So,
and plus rain and clouds.
Yes, that's true.
Sure.
I don't think satellites will be a competition to fiber optic broadband service.
Okay, but so the general idea is you ring the planet with satellites.
Yes, and they will
upload the satellites, and anybody can pull the information off the satellites, providing they have the keys to get in.
Right.
Okay. But you're saying there are limitations, physical limitations to your
transferring
signal.
The data between the satellites and you.
Yeah.
Because they will interfere with each other.
Yeah.
The great thing about satellites is you can be at the North Pole and still get a signal. Most
coverage is definitely a plus.
Coverage is a plus. Yes.
Yeah, you can be out on the ocean or way up in the hills of Curry County.
So there's definitely a place for that. I don't think that place is community or municipal broadband.
Yeah. And just because Elon Musk does it doesn't make it inherently interesting or valuable. He's kind of
makes it cool.
He's kind of a goober, I guess.
Okay, are they doing this? We're talking about Brookings, but are they doing this anywhere else in the world, like in Europe or?
Absolutely.
No, go ahead. Not far from here. I mean, Hillsborough's talked about it in Oregon.
Ashland has broadband.
Utah has tried it and hasn't. I think like they did in Provo. That's something called iProvo in Utah, which didn't sound super successful. I know they've done some other attempts in Utah. So it's been attempted, and there's some success stories out there for sure for how this was done, especially community broadband in particular.
This is a map of just Oregon, and these are all places that have.
They're all the way up Highway 5.
They're all the way, yeah, and they're mostly one or a couple of entities that are doing it.
Yeah, what's the string that's going from Highway 5 over to the coast over there?
So that's
Florence?
That's called Douglas Fastnet.
What's the town over there on the coast?
That's Florence, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's coming basically from Eugene. It has reached a finger over to the coast. We're talking about...
Actually, I think that's Reedsport, technically.
Oh.
Sorry.
Is that on Highway 38?
I have no idea.
That's a wonderful little drive. But for anybody who wants to know how to get to Highway 5, I think the best way to get there is to go... Especially if you're going north. If you're going to Grants Pass, forget it. But if you just want to go up to Portland or something like that, go up 101 to 38, and I guess everybody here in the world except me knows that, because everybody in the room is nodding at me like, well, where you been?
I've
Oklahoma for a long time. And
so, I mean, go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry.
If you want to know more about what communities successfully deployed municipal networks, there is an organization and a website called mooninetworks.org. It has a nice map of all the...
That's what I'm looking at.
Municipal networks.
Now, yeah.
And I think in one of the documents they said they had about 100 communities that successfully deployed networks so far in U.S.
100?
100.
Yeah. So you're talking about 100 cities?
100 cities, yes.
That are putting this in. So now is it the.
Not putting this in, successfully deployed and are operating at the moment.
Okay. As in present tense, as if
yes,
as
opposed
not,
to future
not
tense.
Not went bankrupt.
Yeah. Okay. So now I forgot my question. So they're doing this in Ashland, and that's a successful venture.
I don't know details about Ashland.
They're on the map.
They're on the map. One of the articles claimed they weren't very successful commercially. The project was delayed and run over budget. But, of course, without looking at their financials, I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like a wonderful thing.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why at least a municipal broadband connection would be preferable over private companies. A broadband run by a government might be a little bit more influenceable by the public, by the people who are voting for the service or voting for politicians who might affect the service. Private companies have
But how would they affect the service? I mean, how, what does that look like?
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at private companies and what they're allowed to do under the law now and with the FCC's changes and so on, you can see that private companies can really get away with quite a lot with the services they provide, blocking user access or things like that, different websites.
Charging more for various services.
Yeah, charging more for less. Ideally, a healthy local government and one that is involved with its people and that where people actually have a say and a voice, an internet service provided by that local government would ideally be healthier and be willing to listen to the people and what they want and what they want changed. Because with an internet connection comes questions about, well, who provides filtration services or do we provide filtration services? If the government is giving people internet connections in their homes, who is protecting the children in those homes and their internet searches? Does the government do that? Is that entirely up to parents to decide what kinds of services they want to provide to block certain inappropriate websites?
I think that's making things a little messy. I don't see the government. I don't see private entities doing that. I don't see the government doing that even less. I mean, when I look at our city government, I don't see them. Mm-hmm. Having the infrastructure to even think about things like that. I see them paying for the wire, and that's about it.
And then saying, okay, from there it's all on you.
On you.
Well, for instance, like in schools, schools are required to protect the internet traffic of the students going to that school. It's the Children's Internet Protection Act. Right. So working at the school district, we are required to monitor and protect the internet traffic that goes on there. That has to happen.
So you're saying that by the fact that the city is providing the service, that they might be opening themselves up to litigation or something?
Possible. Imagine somebody's kid looks something up on the city internet.
Well, they do now
on private internet. Right. But people have that separation there where they don't think that private internet company is responsible for what their kid did. They think they are. But now when the government's providing that service and a child uses that government-provided internet to search something up that parent finds offensive.
Wouldn't that be easily fixed with a contract that says, hey, look, what are you saying?
Well, as the broadband communication is increasingly perceived as an essential utility, it's not unlike to water service or sewage.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, what the provider of the service provides is the ability for the data to flow from point A to point B and connect to the larger networks. All the sort of parental control and, any sort of censorship should take place at the endpoint in this case.
It should. I think people don't understand internet connection the way that they think. They won't think of it in the same terms as they think of their water or their power. The government doesn't tell people, hey, this is what you do with your water.
Right.
They don't tell people.
The government doesn't tell you, hey, don't stick a fork in that socket, otherwise you'll get electrocuted, right?
Right, right. They don't. Well, maybe they do. But like the fire marshal or something. But when it comes to an internet connection, it's totally different. And the way parents communicate with the school about the way kids use their internet connections at school, they have this expectation, an expectation of how that services used in the home. So I don't know, it's possible, it's potential. And there's a different question of what would the city want to do or what would the county want to do? Would the city of Brookings or the Curry County want to block certain websites or restrict certain traffic or make changes to what's available to you? We've seen Curry County basically remove the Curry County Voices organization, took away their equipment, removed some of the access that they had to the whole public access channel and instead put it in the hands of a private company. And that was because of difficulties between those two organizations. If you read one of the last Curry Pilot articles by Curry Pilot staff before the big change to the community paper was all about, Carl King talking about some of those concerns and why they got pulled was because they wanted to put the full video of Jeff Merkley's speech, which included some stuff about Trump.
Right.
And there were some disputes there where Curry County said, well, we don't want that to go out on your channel and pulled the access. Would they do the same thing with an internet connection that they control? Would those elected politicians demand in this service that they have control over because they set it up that certain things not be available? I think it's possible.
I think it's less likely.
Tell me why.
Well, it's important to separate the media that flows from the data line from the data line itself. So it needs to be made very clear that broadband service itself is just a utility, and the way you use it should be separated from the data that it carries, especially the media. I know that the big internet service providers, they usually are vertically integrated, and they have also provided a lot of media to be consumed with,
All right, they provide antivirus software. They provide software, content. They provide several things. I don't see a city government providing the same sort of things. I don't say that same vertical integration either. I see them paying for the wires in the ground.
Yeah,
and the building
that should be their mission. Yeah,
housed in, and that's probably about it.
I mean, that building that it's housed in, where all that internet traffic goes and is then transported basically up the coast so it can then filter out elsewhere. At that first building that you're talking about, there can be content filtration at that location. And usually there has to be. There's usually like some quality of service stuff where that traffic is then analyzed. Okay, this is BitTorrenting, or this is looks like file transfers, and this is traffic going to this website. There can be content filtering in that location.
Sure.
And usually there has to be some kind of
And there's ways around that, too.
There are, yes, ways that I'm a very big fan of.
Right.
But
we don't talk about that,
though. Yeah, but the assertion that it's unlikely that, say, Curry County, which has shown that it's willing to take action on a public broadcasting style
group. I know. I see your point. Mm. I definitely see your point. Mm. I guess it's possible. I see it less likely. To me, I see it more as them providing a wire, just like our Goose Curry Co-op provides power.
Maybe, but let's look no further than KCIW. We have our antenna on the City of Brookings Tower. Do we not sometimes have concerns sometimes about the future of that antenna on the City of Brookings
Very
Tower?
Much so, yes.
And whether those who run the City of Brookings might decide that, hey, you know what? Maybe it's time to talk to KCIW again about the antenna being on that tower.
Yeah.
So I feel like current events and recent events have made my point for me that there's a cause to be cause of concern. There's a reason to worry or wonder about, hey, something controlled by the government or by a local government is affected by the people in that government. Government is people. I mean, it's
mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about maybe community-based broadband with. Mm-hmm. Because that, I think, is more likely scenario anyway.
Okay.
From what I understand, the Coos Curry Electric has already put out feelers to the public about...
In their magazines, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they also have the infrastructure sort of in place.
They have an IT team.
They have an IT team.
We've interacted with them.
They have equipment to run fiber cables into conduits mm-hmm. to the house. Mm-hmm. Why not Coos Curry? What would be the draws
I'd be interested in seeing that. I would
60 cycle hum.
I'd be interested.
It's not, but that if it's fiber, it's not.
I know. I had a set of intercoms that you plugged into the line, and they worked just fine for a while, and then I don't know. Some filter capacitor went a little south or whatever, but then they started humming after a while.
Yeah, we've all had that.
And I remember I was talking with somebody who came out to work on my electrical one day, and about the 60 cycle hum thing. And I thought, isn't this going to be a problem if you're trying to shoot data down a line and whatever? And what he said to me essentially was, well, yeah, you always have that potential as a problem, but the frequencies that we're sending down the line for data are much higher than the 60 cycle hum, so it makes it pretty easy to separate the two. But but I'm old school, so I keep thinking in terms of what comes out of that wall hums, like my refrigerator.
Yeah, in this case, that hum is not going to affect that fiber
data.
One bit.
Yeah. That's the beauty of the difference between digital versus analog. Kind of.
Light versus electromagnetics.
Yeah.
I'd certainly be willing. I mean, Coos Curry Electric is going to want to know, they have a profit margin of their own. They need to be able to continue to function. So
the downside there might be that they might be a little bit more profit-oriented than if the city were to do it.
Yeah, that's what I kind of see as being one of the drawbacks is that You have a company that knows how to do all of this stuff, and they're researching it, and they're a big company, and so they're capable of putting in a lot of money into something like this, whereas the city doesn't have that kind of money to put in the research, and they essentially have to negotiate with somebody like the power company to see if they can resell the services or something along that line. Can we address that issue a little bit?
I just wanted to bring this up, otherwise I would forget.
Okay.
Speaking of money for the rural broadband connection, the telecom companies, the big four at least, since 2014 received $1.5 billion annually to deliver broadband services to rural America, which they utterly failed to do. And that was federal money that they received. So if... either co-ops or municipal, municipalities who wanted to bring broadband would actually tap into those funds, that would help quite a bit.
That would scare the private companies a little bit.
Yes.
And it should.
And actually they are scared because Oregon in this case is one of the lucky ones. There are 14 states already where the telecom and cable companies lobbied successfully to erect barriers or outright bans for the municipally municipally built broadband systems. Oregon, luckily, so far is not one of them, but we have to watch out. It can happen anytime.
Which is even more reason why we should probably try to enact this now.
Well, having that, I mean, that's a selling point for your town. Brookings needs to continue to develop selling points, hey, reasons to move here.
Yes.
Especially if you're under 50. Reasons to come here and live here and dwell here and build a family here and be part of the community. And having some kind of, you know, easy internet service connection, that'd be wonderful. I mean, that would help toward that.
I agree wholeheartedly. In fact, that's a really good point. I know of at least one person who was living in LA, and I'm not going to mention his name because I didn't get permission, but he has a web design, he's very profitable, but he still has to go down to LA just because the broadband here is so that he's essentially taking money out of the town every time he goes down to LA to have to conduct business.
Yep, that's where he spends his money. And
right. And that's I tried to get him on the show. I just failed to make that happen, but there, I'm sure that story has repeated itself many, many times over in this town, where businesses aren't able to conduct business like they could if they were in another town with better broadband.
I also agree with Dane on this, and the evidence actually goes beyond, anecdotal. There were studies done, and economic fortunes and demographic trends in a lot of townships were strongly dependent on the broadband. So basically, young people are not moving away as much as they do in the places that don't get broadband.
Sure.
Hmm.
It just like we talked about when power was getting rolled out, it was causing, smaller towns that didn't have power to have proper education. And it's the same way now with broadband, right? I mean, If you're a kid that doesn't have broadband access, how are you going to compete with...
You're going to fall behind.
Yeah, you're going to fall behind.
And it's a very valid point, the comparison that's made between adoption of electrification in, 30s and 40s and today, because the private companies that were in business of providing electricity back then made very similar arguments that are being made by cable and telecom companies currently against municipally or community-built networks.
Right. They said, do you really want your electric company, do you really want the government providing your electricity? Well, yeah, we do, because that's the only way that it's going to happen in these rural communities, and that's what happened, is the government had to come
I think as a general rule, governmental agencies operate at lower cost than private companies in competition with other companies. And I'm not sure why. I think it may have, because I'm not an economist, I guess is why I don't understand this. But it just seems like if a government, like a city, provides the service as a utility, then it's probably more prone to be regulated, like your rates on your power that you get to your house from the power company. They're regulated by entities, and finally, they are government entities.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
When you start talking about the free market and all of that kind of thing, then you're talking about, well, how much money is there in this? And yeah. I've been to enough sales conferences and whatnot and listened to the dialogue. You know, these guys are all motivated by money, and that's kind of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A quick reminder, this is KCIW. You are listening to Discussion at Brookings Cafe. We're talking about community-based and just flat-out mm-hmm. municipal broadband as an alternative to the company that brings you internet services. And we've, covered a lot of territory on this, including satellites and whatnot. The question I want to bring up, we were talking about government conceivably limiting what can be broadcast on whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The internet services, are these all subject to the same rules of free speech that most everybody else is, or?
Well, private companies violate a person's free speech all the time. They just do it in very careful ways.
Yeah.
When a person's Twitter account gets shut down, I mean, is their free speech being violated? Well, they're just being denied access to a voluntary platform.
Mm-hmm.
So in the instances of where, like, Charter says, hey, you've been torrenting movies too much, and they decide to shut your internet down, they're not denying you your right to free speech. They're terminating a service based on the services contract that you signed and agreed to.
Well, they are also denying your free speech too, right? Because you no longer have the ability to make a post on Facebook, right? Or
maybe that argument wouldn't succeed. Charter would say, "Hey, no, we're not denying you your right to go out in the town square and shout. We are denying you with a product that we provided you based on terms that you agreed to. And if you agree to those terms, if you agree to give up your right to free speech, just like people agree to give up their assumed right to privacy, then it's fine. You agree to it. It's in documentation. You made a contract.
The fact that this is a municipal agency, wouldn't that mean that they're less likely to inhibit that free speech? Wouldn't you think?
Are you thinking governments aren't going to limit someone's free speech?
Interesting question.
It is an interesting question.
I mean, watch me start to protest or talk about.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit of tangential issue, I would say, the free speech and the broadband. But if you look at it from the point of view that if you don't have broadband, affordable, reliable broadband connection, you are already denied your right to free speech. So
I would agree with that.
But that won't hold up. Not in a court of law. I agree, metaphorically.
But what are you saying? Yeah, metaphorically, yeah. we're already behind the eight ball in this town. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have the same rights that somebody living in L.A. does. Necessarily.
Not the same access, at least. Yeah.
Not the same access.
I know, it's not legally waterproof argument.
Yeah,
sure.
I know. We can all hold a sign at the Fred Meyer parking lot.
Right, but it's only going to reach,
you know,
six people at a time.
100 people, yeah.
Yeah, donate to KCIW. Keep us going.
Yes, please.
So what other drawbacks can we think of having the municipality, the government, into this? Can they suddenly decide they want more money? And Andrew, you had your hand up.
I looked it up just before in the show, and there is actually a whole article written by the CEO of organization, I believe that's a trade union, Trade Association of Cable and Telecom Companies.
Oh.
He wrote an article against municipal broadband.
Oh,
it has all the arguments you can possibly make, you know, and most of them don't hold any water. Some are outright lies.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to look into it, it's available on the same site, mooninetworks.org, or at least referenced from that, because that's where I started my search.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of arguments there that make you think those people have a vested interest in not having this happen ever.
Yeah.
And those are not in the interest of the public.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as we've seen with the telecoms, I mean, you mentioned a free market. Currently, we don't have a free market with telecoms. I mean, they...
Very restricted market.
As Andrew calls it, it's a duopoly. That's
what they call it. Yeah. Actually, the financial analysts for the firms like Comcast, they put it as one of the major advantages that Comcast has. That's why it's a good profitable company, is their virtual duopoly or monopoly in many regions.
Yeah.
Good in terms of it makes money
hand over
fist.
Squeezing every sense out.
Not good as in it is kind and for the betterment of humanity and the furtherment of society. And
those don't enter in financial.
No, yes. Nice. I think the point needs to be made, too, that the government and private companies are not the only two options out there to get internet into the homes of people. There are other options, and there are other ways to run, like, community broadband. Community broadband that's operated by a true cooperative or by, like, a voluntary association of people or by a union of people or of some kind of voluntary group of people getting together and cooperating.
Sure, we could have a co-op of... A fiber optic co-op.
A fiber optic co-op, yes.
Okay, now, but getting something like that together is not going to be an easy task.
You're right. So that means we should never attempt it or even talk about it.
That's
and
right.
We should just be happy with Charter and Frontier.
Claiming they give us
I know 100. That's not what you're saying, Dan, but...
I remember I had an old telephone hung on the wall, and you'd turn the crank like this, da-da-link, 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 and then you'd tell somebody who you wanted to call, and she'd say, what, are you fighting with her again? Come on now, I'm not putting this call through. Now, that's censorship.
Yeah, that's censorship.
And a party line.
Realistically, is Coos Creek Electric probably going to be the next best option for our area? That's what I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So what next steps do we take to encourage them to go for this and seek community involvement? I mean, I'd want to see them have like a citizen board or something
I've heard that there's a questionnaire that if you go to their website, they have a questionnaire that says, is that something that you would be amenable to?
They have a board of directors, don't they? Don't they like elect from the area and you can run for it and... Say, hey, I want this done. Or you can even find out who those people are and write them letters and stuff.
You can write it on the back of your electric bill. That's what I was told.
Do they read that?
They actually read it.
Interesting.
Okay, so now let's see if I understand this correctly to make sure that the readers or the listeners that we have here understand this correctly. If they will read the little magazine the co-op sends out, there's a survey in there somewhere that says...
Ruralite, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. And there's a survey in there, or at least you can probably find it online somewhere. But you could talk to the co-op, the electrical co-op, and say, hey, I'm tired of so-and-so being the monopoly for narrowband here or whatever it is that we have.
Good one, Dan.
And, and I want this.
Yeah.
And so and that's kind of like writing a congressman, I guess.
Well, who's happy with their home internet connection?
Not me.
Who's happy with those creeps at Charter?
All right. Well, for the listeners out there who can't see that we have 12 hands all stuck up in the air, and a lot of people are holding up both hands. So I am. I get frustrated a little bit every now and then because I have to wait 10, 15 seconds for the page to load. But I'm a child of dial-up. And not only that, I haven't. Somewhat interesting story, maybe. I toured Alaska and went to this place called White Horse, which was actually in the Yukon. And the hotel where I stayed, the internet was so bad, I never got on. I probably spent 45 minutes trying to just log in. I mean, the login part took 5 minutes, and then I wanted to check my email. And it took me another 10 minutes to sign on there. And then I waited and waited and waited for one little page to come up. And I just felt like it was worse than dial-up. It was the worst experience I ever had. Hmm. Now, that's rural.
Yeah.
And we're not that bad.
I only have 5 meg download, 1 meg upload, and that's just horrendous. Working as a volunteer here at the radio station, I'm asked to provide... 70 to 100 meg files routinely, and that takes me down for an hour, and everything is tied up. And that's the only option where I live. I can't get Charter. I could get satellite, but we know that's not going to help.
Yeah. Maybe then the call to action is to urge Kuskure Electric to continue to explore this as a next best option. I mean, Charter is never going to change unless there's real local competition.
Mm-hmm.
Frontier right. is not providing that competition.
And competition is a good thing, right? I mean, we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's not really much competition.
And they have the advantage.
We even want to get into the Europe that has a far more free market society, and they have something like, even in rural France, they have 15 different broadband providers. We don't have that in this country.
Yeah, America has a pretty low rating when it comes to the effectiveness of its internet connection.
Yeah, we looked that up
16th.
Actually.
Yeah, 16th in the world, is that right?
In the world, right.
In
we're number one. Well, 13? No, we're not.
No.
We're not even close.
Not in the internet connection.
Not
way.
Close. Neither in coverage, nor in affordability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the electric line has the advantage in that if you live up in the hills, you probably have an electric line.
Absolutely.
If you live up in the hills, you probably don't have a cable line.
Probably not. Because Charter says we're not going to run up there. That's too expensive.
Yeah.
Forget
so
you.
The disadvantage of the electrical line is that it is a copper wire.
We don't know that.
How about you transmitting power?
I'm not talking about like internet over power lines, unless that's what Kuskure Electric is proposing.
Well, how would they get it there? Would they lay their own fiber optics?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
They already have the poles.
Yeah.
It's okay, just so the stringing conversation another bunch not,
of yeah, you can run fiber along fiber. Utility poles. I mean, you don't want it to get like hit by a tree, but it takes a copper line down just as quick as it does fiber.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm going back to this conversation I had.
There is such a thing as power over internet lines. Or, sorry.
Internet over power lines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and that's what I was hearing 10 years ago was that.
Yeah, that's more of a means of providing internet or providing connectivity in office spaces that don't have
local little connections
where you can run data through the power line instead of through a cement wall in a prison or something like that.
Yeah.
I looked into that when I was working at the prison, actually.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There is internet over water lines where you put your message inside a bottle and you cork it and then you flush it down the toilet.
I think that would be perfect for Dan, actually.
I think, yeah. Dan, don't you use that? Yeah, don't you flush your internet down the toilet and then you send it?
It would be almost as fast as the experience I had in the Yukon.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. What's on CNN? Flush. Oh,
so we already talked about 5G and that really not being the answer.
Yeah, I mean, just because the way it operates. Again, if you ever just put like a great big internet tower in the middle of town, and everybody had a little antenna in their house, and that's how they got the internet connection, that's feasible because then you don't have to have the infrastructure of wires and poles going everywhere.
But mm-hmm. you're going to need much more towers.
Yeah,
we found out,
mm-hmm.
and then you're also limited to things like line of sight,
yeah.
buildings, other structures, trees, etc.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the answer, especially in this area where we have hills and trees and mm-hmm. and all kinds of things of that nature, which is why most people, out of town, their only option right now is either DSL or satellite.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to roll this idea of the electric company laying fiber optics, and one of the things that just occurred to me is they would have to do a heck of a promotions campaign to basically educate people into this idea that they can run fiber optics or whatever to my house, because I don't think a lot of people think that way. They just think in terms of the power comes over the power lines and turns on the lights, and the internet comes over this cable thing that comes
in.
So
the same mechanism that brings power to your house would bring fiber optic.
Very similar. If you look up at the power poles anywhere in the Brookings proper, you will see that beside the power lines, there mm-hmm. are other wires hanging down mm-hmm. there. Usually it's either Frontier or Spectrum lines
mm-hmm.
That are coiled right below. Mm-hmm. And they probably lease it from Kuskure Electric. I don't know what kind of deal they have, but
right.
they run their wires on the power
Yep.
Right. Bottom line, yep. Every internet connection that we have in this town eventually goes out through a fiber optic cable.
Yes.
Right?
Leading up to, where is it, Bandon or no? It goes up north, I know that. Yes. At least to Coos Bay. If you ever run like a trace route, you can kind of see some of the hops it takes as it gets out.
Well, there is a long-haul company called LS Networks who apparently laid fiber in southern Oregon. They have at least two lines, judging from the picture of their network, going in the Bandon direction and also inland towards Grants Pass. But, well, unfortunately for residential customers, they don't do the last mile service. They are a long-haul internet backbone provider.
So there is another perhaps sort of dark line coming out of here somewhere?
At least a couple, yeah.
Not very close to max anyway.
A dark line.
Yeah.
I'm starting to imagine like a secret internet line somewhere.
Well, that's funny because it's a real term, dark fiber. Apparently, when dark they fiber. Did lay fiber across U.S., mm-hmm. there is a lot of it that's still unused. It's laid down for the future. It's buried somewhere in the ground, not used currently.
Oh.
We still haven't reached that amount of data to make use of all of it efficiently. Oh. Or maybe our sort of, you know, last mile access providers are throttling the progress.
They're throttling, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By their... Yeah.
But the capacity to carry data across the continent is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... It's a matter of kind of surmounting the ill will or, you know, the
greed.
Lack of maybe greed sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's an important point, too. I think that if we had community or broadband or municipal broadband, I think they could not only do it faster, they could do it a lot cheaper, right?
That's possible.
The studies
that the organization who advocates municipal broadband on is basically municipal entities enter the broadband market usually only when there is no other viable option available at all.
So there's not a lot of comparative data.
Well, they don't enter when they have to compete directly. It's only when the service provided is too poor, the coverage is poor, or it's outrageously expensive when the municipalities, by demand from their constituency, go ahead and build out the municipal networks.
So, I mean, I think we fall into that category. I know there's a lot of outlying areas in this town that are suffering due to lack of broadband.
Coos Prairie Electric is probably the way to go.
Jump right in here right now because we have about 30 seconds left, and I would like to thank Dane and Andrew and Matt and Pie White, who is once again stuffing sound into a little computer chip that I don't understand. And it's an intricate process. He uses knitting needles. It's amazing.
Ooh, he uses dark fiber.
Dark fiber, yeah.
Hyper-threading, we call it.
This has been a discussion on community-based and municipal broadband. I guess they're separate somehow. The concept of the city of Brookings or somebody putting in an internet service for you. This is KCIW. This is Discussion at Brookings Cafe. Thank you for everybody for being here, and we'll do this again soon.
Hey. See ya.
You've been listening to Discussion at Brookings Cafe. Become a part of these great discussions. Send an email to contact@kciw.org.
The opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants and not necessarily the opinions of this station.